state rule?
Does it say here the estate right there? Every board meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Julie Rust, Melanie Shockley,
Scott Aylett,
Angie Gurrell,
Nicole Holwich,
Ben Sansom,
Vicki Hill.
Okay. First approved minutes from the October meeting. I apologize, I did not link those. Mm-hmm. Hello, Stacy.
Hi, guys.
Welcome. As kind of a recap from last month, as I'm pulling up the minutes, we discussed the code of conduct policy. And one of the items that you guys wanted us to kind of go take a look at was weapons in the library, and so we've drafted something that we'll discuss today in that regard. I apologize for not having this up sooner. Come on.
I'm not getting access to the minutes either.
Okay, so I'll give you access. So we reviewed code of conduct, and then we just briefly discussed kind of a follow-up on our previous conversation about the young adult collection, and that was last month's meeting. So I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the October meeting.
I'll approve it.
Okay, so first from Angie,
second
from Melanie. All in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Okay. Then for today, as kind of a follow-up from last month, discussing the code of conduct policy for patrons, we went back and I worked with the city attorney to add in some text pertaining to weapons. Now, it's difficult because of state and federal laws pertaining to firearms, what we can and cannot do regarding weapons. So what we came up with was this line here: possessing or brandishing dangerous weapons unless authorized by local, state, or federal law is prohibited. Firearms must be holstered. So you can't come in carrying your gun, even though there are open carry laws. You've got to have it holstered, meaning either in a holster or on a sling or something like that, because there are some people that go places with a rifle on their back because law says they can, and they decide to do that. So we just want them having it holstered to their person and not carrying it.
It's not the zombie apocalypse yet.
Yeah, I know.
That's fair.
So any questions or concerns on that? And then the other change that we...
Is the law different for youth?
There are certain laws. I'd have to refresh my memory. I believe that you can conceal carry without a permit now in the state of Utah if you are over the age, I believe, of 21. But between the age of 18 and 21, you have to have a permit. Mm. So individuals that used to have a concealed carry permit that was required by state law, they did away with that. The legislature did, I think, 2 years ago. So now you can conceal carry in the state of Utah without a permit. Mm-hmm. If you are over the age, I believe it's 21, but if you're 18 or 19 to 21, because you have to be 19 to own a pistol or a handgun. So 19 to 21, you'd have to have a concealed carry permit.
The only reason this is on my mind so much is I'm from Portland, and we had an issue there several years ago with some youth that had knives in the library.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an incident. So that's why this has come up in my
right. Why
it's something that I've thought about.
Yeah.
But Spanish Fork is very different than the city of Portland.
Right. And so many people around here, I even just looking at city employees, most, like, you know, I look at Public Works or Parks and Rec employees, and most of them have a knife on them, right?
Yeah.
Because they're out working and they're using that
right.
all the time, right? And even youth, right? I see them come in and they've got a knife on their little belt loop or whatever, right? Which is fine as long as they're not brandishing it, right? And they're not playing with it and that type of thing. So keeping it on their person is fine, but not playing
with it. Do you
know
if the laws are different with that in Portland?
Hmm.
Like, they are not supposed to take the knives into the library?
I don't know. I could ask my brother, a police officer, I could ask him.
I did. You want to refresh him?
I still have an incident there, and that's why I thought about this when we were talking about it last time. And maybe they've changed it since that incident.
Yeah, sorry about that. Then the other one that we went back and looked at was looking at minors under the age of 9 years old, right? Having someone that's there with them. And originally we said that they had to have an adult with them, right? But oftentimes during the summertime, we'll see kids that come and spend their whole day at the library because mom and or dad are working all day, and where are the kids going to go, right? Or after school, they'll come hang out here, and the 14-year-old brother is there with the 9-year-old sister or something like that. And so we've adjusted it to say that minor children up to the age of 8 must have an older responsible party. So that gives us some flexibility, right? That they could come with an older sibling or a nanny, babysitter, that type of a thing. It doesn't have to be an adult that's there with them, as long as we determine and deem that they're responsible, right? And they're attending to the child or the minor and whatnot. So that was a change that we made there as well. Any questions or concerns?
Well, so in that second paragraph, should it be changed to the responsible party then?
Good catch. If the party refuses to address. Okay, any other questions or thoughts about that? So those were the other changes that we made. I guess I did add, based off of a comment that Ben had made about how do we apply this, right? And it's so subjective, right? And I'm trying to train my staff and help them recognize that even though we have policies and rules at the library, it doesn't necessarily mean that you always have to enforce policy or rule. I'm sure all of us, I mean, maybe you guys are all better drivers than I am, but I've been pulled over and not received a ticket, right? Even though there's a law that specifically says...
I got the ticket.
You got the ticket?
I did.
Oh, bummer. Right? And so, even though there's a law that says you're not supposed to speed, right? They don't enforce that law all the time, right? And I think here at the library, there are instances where even though we have policy, doesn't necessarily mean that policy has to be enforced. We try and do it fairly and equitably, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you will always enforce policy. And so trying to help my staff understand their expectations in terms of applying policy. So we've added this section to help address that. For example, staff will weigh the observed disruptive conduct and exercise best judgment in determining whether the conduct is a violation of the policy. And then talking about annual training for our staff in terms of de-escalation and how to enforce policy and those types of things. So this was added kind of in response again to Ben's comment about how do we objectively apply policy when it's very subjective. When you look at
I think it's also there for backup, so if there are instances, you have a place to go, and it gives you some guidelines.
Right.
If you have complaints, or how many people are at the library, you know, that day, or, complaining about noise, or whatever.
Yeah.
So is that kind of what you're...
Yeah.
Just, you have something to back up.
Right.
You can say, hey, we do actually have a policy, I'm not just pulling this out of thin air.
Right. Here's the rule. Yeah. Right. So, any other questions, comments, thoughts? So. Okay.
So where will this be at? Like, just like patrons don't have access to this. It's just something employees have access to.
So we'll add it to our like policy document, which is available online, and so we could always refer patrons to that on our website, and then we could always have printed copies available, right? If we needed to give one to an individual. So that being said, I would entertain a motion to recommend approval of the library code of conduct policy. And as a reminder, what happens now is this will go to the city manager and the city attorney, and they review it, and then they are the ones that actually codify it and put it into our policy document.
Motion to accept.
I'll second it.
Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Any opposed? Perfect. Okay. Another policy that we're working on adding and would like some feedback from you all is we oftentimes get requests from patrons and mostly self-published individuals that would like for us to add their items to our collection, right? Which we love adding to our collection, expanding the number and variety of available materials for our patrons, but oftentimes self-published materials are self-published for a reason, either in terms of quality, right? The physical quality of the book, you know, isn't the same standard as like a, you know, a large publication house that would publish, or even they don't get the same editing, right? Maybe it's self-edited and that type of thing. A lot of typos. We've had self-published ones where the title is a typo right on the front and the cover of the book. Those types of things. And
it was a good read.
Oh, yeah. So we get a lot of these. And so looking at what some other libraries have done is they've set a policy where if you are self-published and you want the library to add your item to the book, we ask that you provide a donated copy of the item for us to review beforehand. And if we decide that we're going to add it, then either if you donated it to us, great, or we're happy to pay for the item after that fact. But we need a copy up front for us to review to decide, is it up to par? Are we going to put it into the collection? And so, again, this is something just so that we have something to refer people to. We've created a form that we can then just email to these authors when they contact us saying, will you add my book to your library? We'll send them a form that they can fill out, and then we'll review that, and they can send us a copy of their book for us to review, and then we'll make a decision at that point.
How often does this happen?
Probably average once a week.
Oh, that's a lot.
I feel like it's become pretty easy to self-publish.
Yeah.
And pretty affordable, so I have several people that I know that are doing this, and I'm like...
Oh. Yeah, it happens quite a bit. And so policy just says self-published authors seeking to have their materials included in the library's collection must complete the self-published submission form. Due to concerns regarding the overall quality of self-published materials, the author must provide a copy of the item for review as either a donation or with the understanding that the library will purchase the item if staff decide to add it to the collection. If the item is not donated and the staff decide not to add it to the collection, the item will be returned to the author. Any concerns about that? Okay, so I would entertain a motion to approve a recommendation of the review of self-published materials policy.
I'll put that.
Okay, first, or a motion made by Angie, a second. By Ben. All in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Okay. That is all I have on the agenda for today, other than this is Nicole's last board meeting with the library.
Oh, we should have had a party. How long was it? When did you say it was 6 years?
What?
It's 6 years.
That's gone by so fast.
Two terms, each 3 years.
It was Paul Christensen, I think, that approached you at we were down at the Veterans Hall.
Oh my gosh.
And he approached you and said, hey, she's interested in helping out and doing something. And then you emailed me.
Well, we'll miss having you. We'll miss having your perspective, right? I think it's good to have diverse backgrounds and opinions and experience so that we get a well-rounded discussion and, you know, views on different policies and whatnot. But
fun getting to know lots of different people too.
You and were a here fun at a big time, like the move, the new library. That was a fun time to be on the board.
I think it's helpful for any of that, but because I didn't have time. But
yeah, but it's just
fun
to be
a part and know what was going to happen.
Yeah,
be a part and know what's
it,
going on.
Right.
Yeah,
and to be here. Those kind of things.
Well, we'll miss having you. Thanks, Nicole, for your service and Don't be a stranger, right?
Kyle can come.
We see a lot of your kids over here.
I was
so.
At work and I have to set my alarm for these meetings because 5 o'clock for me is early to leave work. Right. And so I was like, oh, I got that meeting at 4.
Good excuse to have to leave a little bit early. But I've extended the application period for the replacement for Nicole through December 15th. So if you guys have any people that you know that would be interested in serving on the library board that you feel like would be good, it's just right on our website up in the news section at the top. You can have them fill that out, and then I'll make a recommendation to the mayor and the council in January to replace whatever.
Have you been getting
ones. I have about 3 or 4,
okay,
plus quite a few from last year that said that they were still interested.
Okay.
So those that had applied last year that weren't selected, I asked them after the fact, if you're still interested next year, I can follow up with you.
But... Like,
you have to be as stellar as all of you.
That's a high bar.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And we're kind of evolving, because in the past it was how board members were selected, at least by my predecessor, it was mostly just looking at active patrons. Who uses the library a lot, right? And in most cases, we approached them and said, would you like to be on the library board? Which has been great, but in some cases, like, I worry, especially as I talk with other libraries that work in that way, sometimes they get people that are on the board because they were asked to and they feel obligated, right? And not necessarily like, yes, I want to give back, like Nicole saying, hey, I want to be involved in the community. So I like the application process, because then we can get those that really want to serve. So I review the applications. I typically send them over to Stacy as well for her to review and get some feedback. I at least look at just what their usage of the library is like, right? I've had people that apply that don't have a library card or haven't used their library card in years. It's like, really? How invested are you in the success of the library if you don't ever use it? So we look at that a little bit. Yeah. Those types of things. I know other libraries do interviews. We haven't had a need to sit down and do interviews with people, but that's something that we could do, and if we feel like there's a need to do that, so... We'll see. We've got a good few applicants so far, and we'll see how it goes. But that's all I have. I don't think we'll plan on meeting in December, just because of the holidays, everyone's busy and has a lot going on. So, unless anyone's opposed and really wants to meet in December.
It's like December 26th.
I'm sure I could come up with a really engaging policy for us to review the day after Christmas. Otherwise, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn. First from Melanie.
Second.
Second from Stacy. All in favor? So yes.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Adjourning at 5:19 p.m.
Might be our first meeting.
That might be the record.